coming up on All Access.
It's really a pleasure to be able to call Wes Welker now a Bronco, a Denver Bronco.
Definitely excited about the opportunity.
And I want to win.
Well, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to establish my own role here in New England.
Ten years ago, we were over in the hotel, and if we had 20 writers there, that was a lot.
I watch it very much in support of the coaches and the players because I'm really close to a lot of these guys. You know, some of these coaches are my best friends.
It's the offseason and change is in the air, and big changes are taking place here in New England. Welcome to Patriots All Access, everyone. I'm Steve Burton. Earlier this week, Patriots fans were surprised to learn that Wes Welker, the most productive wide receiver in team history, was leaving New England, signing a two-year, $12 million contract with the Denver Broncos. We'll cover this story and more from every angle. We begin with the state of the Patriots. Here's Dan Roach.
With the winds of March upon us, free agency began, and the winds of change are blowing through Foxborough. The Patriots said goodbye to five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Wes Welker, who agreed to a deal with Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. After only six seasons, Welker leaves as the Patriots' all-time leader in receptions.
So, Wes Welker.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it, bud.
You know, definitely like to thank New England for the 6 years there and all the trust and everything they put in me and the opportunities I got.
Out with the old, in with the new, as the Pats quickly responded to Welker's departure by inking former Rams wide receiver Danny Amendola to a five-year deal. Amendola is 4 years younger than Welker and happy to be a Patriot.
I was excited. You know, I obviously know what type of machine is out here in New England and what kind of offense, especially particularly for my position at receiver, what kind of stuff they can do. And I was really excited about it. Been watching Wes play since, 2000. And I followed him at Texas Tech and become good friends over the years. And we were similar style in playing, obviously. He's a guy that's been to a number of Pro Bowls, played a couple Super Bowls, and it's a guy that I've emulated for over the years. And so I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to establish my own role here in New England.
The Patriots also boosted their special teams units as they agreed to a deal with kick returner Leon Washington. Washington is tied for the all-time NFL lead in kickoff returns for touchdowns with Josh Cribbs with 8.
I never could imagine this day, but I'm blessed and honored to be in this position to play for one of the best franchises to ever do it.
Next up for the Patriots, the NFL draft on April 25th. Right now, the Patriots only have 5 picks overall in the entire draft. But as we know with Bill Belichick and company, that can certainly change. From the CBS scene in Foxborough, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachie, thank you very much. For joining me now is Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, and it's all about Wes Welker. And here's a question I have. Was this personal? Between Welker and the Patriots.
I think the only people that know that are Wes and Bill Belichick. And what they feel, I'm not going to try to crawl inside those minds and find out what they were thinking. It certainly seems like this was kind of a mutual parting of the ways. I think, Wes sort of wanted to be here, but only, with a certain amount of respect shown to him. Obviously, he didn't feel it was with the reported two-year $10 million offer, but 2 years and $12 million. I think if he really wanted to be here, I don't think the money was all that different. And obviously, if the Patriots really wanted him to be here, I think they would have shown him a little bit more on that side as well. So I think it's a mutual parting of the ways.
Are you surprised he's gone?
I'm shocked that he's gone. Everything we heard from the Patriots was that they wanted him here, wanted him to retire as a member of the organization. And I'm shocked at the number, Steve. If you told me 2 years, $12 million, that Wes Welker would go to another team for that, the Patriots wouldn't match that, I would have dismissed it at the start of free agency.
Well, it wasn't just any other team. It was the Denver Broncos. Here's the thing that I think that Wes was looking at. He made $9.5 million as a franchise player last year. Patriots offered him $5 million. $4 million pay cut.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And certainly it's less money, but he, you know, the $6 million that he got is less money than that as well. So, you know, I can't get away from the fact that I feel like if he really wanted to be here, and that was the number one thing, he would have done what some other guys have done in the past. A guy like Teddy Bruschi, who went and, you know, he got to free agency, he went and visited Green Bay and realized, why am I doing this? I want to play in New England. I want to be in Foxborough. And it didn't really matter. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know what the numbers exactly were with Teddy's contract way back when, but clearly he's a guy that the only thing that mattered to him is where he played. That's not the only thing that mattered to Wes. I think he wanted to be here, but only on his terms.
Here's the fairness I do want to bring up as far as the Patriots were concerned. Before they franchised him, they did offer Wes a 2-year, $16 million deal,
yeah, and
right?
Steve,
$8 million a year.
Yes, and Steve, and they
and
were
he
other
that down.
Yes, and there were other offers as well. They had been talking for about a year on and off, and I think you look at it from the Patriots' perspective, whether you agree with it or not. They got to the point where free agency began. Mm-hmm. They didn't think they could get a deal with Wes Welker. What does Bill Belichick always say? I have to make decisions in the best interest of the team. You don't want to be left without Welker and then without your top fallback option in Danny Amendola. So the team felt like it had to move. You don't have to agree with the decision, but at least picture it from where they're coming from in this standpoint.
All right, there's going to be so much more to this Wes Welker story. Well, we haven't even started with you guys. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
A conversation with former Patriots offensive coordinator and current Penn State head coach, Bill O'Brien.
The players that I coached here, I think they're the best guys in the world.
But first, we take a look at the annual NFL cattle call, the Combine.
One real small piece of the puzzle, but still an important piece.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. This segment of Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of service to their clients.
Pulled from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting fact. According to the Patriots PR department, there are more than twice as many parking spaces in Gillette Stadium's parking lots as there are parking meters in all of the city of Boston. For the most up-to-date Patriots analysis, check out the latest edition of Patriots Football Weekly.
Some people call it the Underwear Olympics. Call it what you want. But the NFL Combine has soared in popularity over the last 5 years. Brian Lowe was in Indianapolis to ask this question. Is the Combine still the best place to evaluate college prospects?
They get tested. They get measured. Every down of their college careers is eyeballed. Players eligible for the 2013 draft have been and will continue to be closely examined as we inch closer to April 25th. And when Patriots personnel attended the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis last month, they also took part in one of the most critical elements of pre-draft prep, the one-on-one interviews.
It's different because it's more of a personal interaction, and it's only a 15-minute period of time. It encompasses everything, and you're trying to take everything that they say into consideration, the presentation, how they handle themselves. I mean, some come in, they have a notebook, they're prepared, they want to write things down. So it's different for each player, and it's interesting to see how each of them handle it on their own.
For the Patriots and each of the NFL's other 31 teams, the Combine at its core is all about evaluating talent. The drills on the field, the interviews, the aptitude tests, and much more. But the attention paid to the NFL's week in Indianapolis every February continues to grow rapidly. The evolution of the Combine has generated reaction from around the league, and there are mixed thoughts as to the event's direction.
10 years ago, we were over in the hotel, and if we had 20 writers there, that was a lot.
This year, more than 800 media credentials were issued. NFL Network had multiple live TV sets and more than 60 hours of programming. Spectators paid to take it all in at Lucas Oil Stadium.
I'm sitting there with Thomas Dimitroff this morning, and we're looking up and we see the fans up there, and we're saying to ourselves, wow, at what point, you know, are they going to increase it to the entire upper bowl?
The Combine is truly a highly anticipated element of the NFL calendar. But has it become too much of a spectacle? Has it distracted from the true mission of scouts, coaches, and personnel executives? Count former Colts general manager Bill Polian as one who is a bit worried.
We run the risk of losing the reason the Combine is here, which is to evaluate and find out information on football players. I don't think we're in danger of losing, you know, any real efficiency, but I just always worry about slippage here and there. And do the players have an optimum opportunity to do their best here?
All that being said, two men who have combined for well over 50 appearances at the Combine over the years feel that business can still get done.
One real small piece of the puzzle, but still an important piece. And the best thing about it is everybody's there. And there's also an opportunity to interact with other people in the National Football League as well.
For all the additional components that have been added, for as much chaos as it appears at times, it's actually more organized, more detailed, more strictly, it has a stricter flow to it, which is good. It's really good.
He was an offensive coach for the Patriots for five seasons at a time when the Patriots were one of the most prolific offensive teams in NFL history. A little over a year ago, Billy O'Brien left New England to replace Joe Paterno as the head coach at Penn State University. O'Brien returned to the New England area last week for a coaching clinic, and Scott Zolak had a chance to visit with Billy O.
A little bit more than a year since you left here. You go to Happy Valley. It's been a heck of a year, huh?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. We were surrounded by a lot of good kids, senior class that really meant a lot to us, really good coaching staff, solid guys, and then all the other people that go into it. And you know, at the end of the year, we won more than we lost, and it was a good start to a new era.
You say the name Penn State, and Joe Paterno goes with it. You replace a legend. Then the firestorm comes. What was the most difficult thing during that process?
When the sanctions came out, we had gone on pretty well there. We had winter workouts were good. Spring practice was okay, but it was, you know, it was productive. And then July 22nd, you know, the NCAA came out and, you know, we received some harsh sanctions. And that was tough. That was tough. But we had a good nucleus of guys, 31 seniors. All of them were guys with leadership capability, and they came through and helped the team stay together. And that helped us in the end. And like I said, we started out pretty well.
After only 1 year, were you surprised that NFL teams started to call and ask?
Yeah, I'm always a little surprised by that. I've only been a head coach for 1 year, and so many people help you as a head coach. You know, you have actually 13 with the 4GAs. You have 13 guys that are helping you coach. You have administrative staff, strength staff, training staff. So there's so much that goes into it, and it was flattering that some teams reached out to me, and we had a couple preliminary discussions. Didn't go very far, and decided to, you know, obviously stay at Penn State. I'm happy there. We got a long road to hoe, but we think we're doing it the right way.
When you were announced as head coach at Penn State University, ESPN, a lot of the other outlets showed this one infamous clip of you and number 12 on the sidelines at the Redskins game. I was about 5 feet away. I think I know what was said, but I don't think we could repeat it here. It's a family show. Do you sit back and chuckle when you see that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are – it's such a competitive environment, and especially on game day. And here in New England, it's a very competitive day-to-day operation. It's intense, especially during a season. And, you know, those things happen. That thing lasted about, a minute and a half maybe. And then if people remember, we were going in – we thought we were going to overtime. So we had to go through the pictures to figure out what the heck we were going to do in overtime. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, that happened more often than people think probably, but it was just two guys that were competing.
I know it's tough. Your schedule's tough. Did you get a chance to see him at all? I know you got the playoff game, the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I watched Houston. I watched the Baltimore game, and I watched maybe a couple regular season games when we were either had a bye or something like that. So I try to follow him. I watch it very much in support of the coaches and the players because I'm really close to a lot of these guys. You know, some of these coaches are my best friends, and then the players that I coached here, I think they're the best guys in the world. So I watch it, you know, just wanting them to make a play. So if that's a fan, then, yeah, I'm watching them as a fan. But I also look at it and say, man, that was a pretty neat play that they ran there, and let's see if we can try to do that at Penn State. You know, so I watch it a little bit as a coach, but probably much more in support of my buddies that coach and play here.
All right, you're a local kid, comes back home, local kid makes good. Do you get the feeling that people here are rooting for Penn State, and there's a lot of New England fans that are Penn State fans now because of what you've done?
Yeah, I can feel that. You know, it's a great place to grow up. I grew up in Andover. I'm a suburban kid, and it was a great sports town, and loved the Patriots, the Bruins, the Celtics, all of them, so Red Sox, obviously. So, you know, I definitely feel the support from people around here for Penn State.
All right, Billy, thanks. Good luck.
Thanks, Zoe.
Appreciate it.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, celebrating 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bank of America, the official bank of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, again about Wes Welker. Do you think the Patriots were planning for this in the long run?
Yeah, I do, and I think I look back to the beginning of the 2012 season, you know, and you look at the Tennessee game, he was sort of an afterthought. I think he had five targets in that game, three catches. He wasn't a big part of the offensive game plan that day. And then the next week against Arizona, he's not in the starting lineup again. Now, the plan goes awry when Aaron Hernandez gets hurt. I think Aaron Hernandez is the guy they sort of envision as being a 100, 110 catch guy, you know, working in a variety of roles, whether it's, you know, true slot stuff that Wes did. But, yeah, Steve, I think that they were sort of making plans and preparations. They knew he was going to be on a franchise tag. They knew they weren't going to give him another one. And I think that they saw this day coming.
I think you're always considering contingency plans, but I'll respectfully disagree. I think they actually thought they offered Wes Welker a contract that was fair based on the present market conditions, and they would have been happy to have him back at the two-year term that they offered. But they were willing to move on, and that's part of what Paul, in my opinion, was talking about, was if it's not at our number, we will move on because we're prepared to do so.
All right, well, they moved on with a guy named Danny Amendola. They bring him in, signed for 5 years, $31 million. What is he going to bring to the table, and do they expect him to replace Wes?
Well, you know, like I said with Hernandez, I think he is just as important in this whole replacing Wes situation. But, yes, Amendola, they're similar kind of players. They're both smaller in stature. They're quicker than they are fast. You know, they have a lot of volume in terms of catches. The difference is I think that Amendola can do some more things on the outside than maybe Welker can. But I also have to point to the injury history, and I think it's a huge part of the equation. When you're talking about this guy, he's missed a lot of games over the last couple of years. He's only finished eight games. He's played in 12 games the last 2 years. He only finished eight of those out of 32. So the one thing about Wes Welker that you had to say, I think he missed three games in six years.
Durable. There's no
so
question.
He was durable, and you know, that's a very demanding position, Steve, to catch a lot of passes and take a lot of hits. Amendola hasn't been able to respond to that.
Yeah, I think Paul hit on all the good points. One I would add is I think one key thing to mention here, 2011, Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator with the Rams. He worked with Amendola to see how he would look in the team system. How invaluable that is to the Patriots, giving them that comfort level to not just, you know, sign him, but sign him to what I think is a pretty nice deal for a player with an injury history like that.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that will do it for this month's edition of Patriots All Access for Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. We'll see you next month before the draft. See you later.